Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you remember when you were a kid what it was like? I couldn't wait to go to school to learn how to read the funnies. The interesting thing was when I learned to read, I didn't read the funnies, and I still don't. You probably remember wanting to become an adult so that you could stay up late. You may remember having to sit at the kids' table when you went to grandma's house and all of the family was there. When I was 14, I couldn't wait to be 16 so I could get a driver's license. Perhaps some of you ladies can't or remember not waiting or can't unable to wait to wear heels and makeup. Perhaps you couldn't wait until you were 16 so you could go on dates. Some of you may have waited or gotten excited about finally becoming 18 when you would get out on your own so that you could get married or live by yourself. Some of you perhaps remember wanting to be 21 so that you could partake of adult beverages. We don't really like to be kids. It's not part of our goal. Children have limitations. They can't do the things that they want to do. Other people, especially mom and dad, control their actions. We always want to be in charge and live our own lives and do our things our way. Yet today in our gospel lesson, the disciples seem like they're acting a little bit like children. They couldn't grasp what Jesus was teaching, that he would be crucified and rise again, but they were afraid to ask. And you'll recall that the disciples thought Jesus would have an earthly kingdom, and so along the way that's described in the text today, they were really talking about who was going to be the greatest in Jesus' new coming kingdom. Can you imagine their conversation? Peter was probably lobbying to be the Secretary of State. James and John, the Thunder and Lightning boys, were probably working to be the Secretary of Defense. And Judas would have been an obvious choice for Secretary of the Treasury. And all the while this is going on, Jesus is trying to explain to them what's going to happen when he gets to Jerusalem. That they're going to arrest him, they're going to crucify him, he's going to die on the cross, and in 3 days he would rise again. Like children, the disciples were focused on themselves and who would be the greatest and not really paying attention to what Jesus was saying. And so when they get to Capernaum and they get to a house, perhaps Peter's house, Jesus in the house says to them, "What were you discussing on the road?" And like little children, they hang their heads knowing that they were not paying attention to what he was saying. Had it been us in Jesus' situation, we probably would have scolded them and told them that it was wrong for them to talk about who was going to be first or best or most important. But Mark says he sat down and called the 12. Sitting was the position of a teacher in those days. And so Jesus assumes that role of teacher when he sits down. And then he said to them, if any would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. How do you suppose the disciples might have responded to that treatment, to that statement? They probably didn't say anything, but in the back of their mind, they're probably thinking, what? Why should we be last? And why should we be servants? That doesn't make any sense to us. You see, Jesus' teaching is diametrically opposed to what the world teaches and would have us do. The world would have us climb and scratch and crawl our way up the ladder to the top. And in the process, you're probably going to have to step on some people's shoulders. Well, that's just the way it is. And they probably are going to let you do that because they're going to hope that by helping you, you're going to turn around and pull them up when you get to the next step. According to the world, getting to the top, being first, being important is really all that matters. And yet Jesus says, if you want to be first, you must be last of all. And not only must you be last, but a servant as well. We tend to take that worldly approach quite easily. Yet in the epistle lesson we read that James says, Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? That world enmity means antagonism or animosity or ill will. And so he's saying, do you not know that friendship with the world is animosity or antagonism or ill will toward God? To make his point, Jesus places a child in his lap. The Greek word that is translated here as child suggests that this child was pretty small. He was not able to speak yet. And since we know that children learn to begin to learn speaking at about 18 months, we know that this child was smaller than or younger than 18 months. Children at that age are pretty much helpless. They're still in diapers. They depend on their parents for everything. They really don't have much control over anything. To help us understand that, we might look at the children in biblical times. Children were considered to be infants until they were 6 or 7 years old. And so we might also look at some other things we learn about children at that age. They were considered to be the property of the father. They could be abandoned without any social stigma for any one of several reasons. Perhaps they were illegitimate, or perhaps there was some conflict within the family, or frequently, and this may have been a more common cause, simply because they were the last born in a large family and that family could no longer afford to support them. And further, those abandoned children could be picked up and legally claimed by anyone who did so. They could be used either as pets for their own children or slaves for that household. And Jesus takes this child and puts him on his lap so that when the disciples look at him, they can't help but see this little child. And Jesus says, "When or whoever receives one such child as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." Whoever receives one of these little helpless children receives not only Jesus, but he receives God as well. Now, it might be easy for us to conclude at this point that Jesus is talking about us and how we should take care of children. But I want you to note that he says, one such child, someone like this. That phrase translated someone like this, or someone who is this kind or this sort of person. So therefore, he says, whoever receives someone like this helpless child, whoever receives someone who has no worldly status whatsoever, someone who can be dropped out into the street and made a slave, that's the kind of people that I want you to receive. Those are the people that Jesus calls on us to accept, to make them as part of our family. Jesus says, if you want to be first, you must be last. You want to be first, you must be servant of all. You want to be first, you must receive people like this helpless child. The world says, if you want to win, you want to be first in this world today, you have to be the best, and you have to be the most important. Jesus says, if you want to be first in heaven, you must be last on earth. What a dichotomy that is. What a contradiction that is. How difficult is it for us to think that way, that we should be last and servants to everyone? I don't know who's going to be the first one at those heavenly gates on Judgment Day. But I can tell you it won't be me. For most of my life, I have wanted to be at the top. I have wanted to be a leader. I wanted to be the person in charge. I recall in an earlier part of my life saying on more than one occasion, I don't want to be part of the thundering herd. I wanted to be something other than just part of the crowd. And I achieved a lot of those things. I taught school. I was a naval officer. And as such, I was in charge of a tactical air crew, a branch officer. Ultimately, I became a department head of the maintenance department. And then later, I was a doctor who treated patients, the ailments of my patients. And now in my retirement, I find myself being a shepherd serving this congregation. The most rewarding of all those careers that I've had is certainly being a servant to this congregation. It is said that he who has the most toys wins. And from a worldly perspective, that may be true. But he who has the most toys also dies. And he can't take those toys with him. I challenge you to show me a serious picture of a Brinks truck following a hearse to the cemetery. When John Rockefeller died, someone asked his attorney, "How much did he leave?" His attorney's answer was short and very specific. His answer was, "All of it." John Rockefeller died and he left it all. He didn't take any of it with him. I don't know how happy he was, but I am sure that he spent a good deal of time keeping his money that he had and trying to earn more. But dear Christians, Christ has a different route for us to true happiness. He blows the lid off that old Adam within us, that old sinner within us, who lives in that tiny and self-centered world in which we live. Jesus would like us to plug into the very power of the universe. He wants us to fit your life into the work that has cosmic significance. He wants us to help him save this world, to reach everyone in this world. He wants us to give real and lasting life to the work that he calls us to do here on earth. He wants to give us the peace and hope and joy and health to everyone that we meet. You see, he offers you a spot on a team to accomplish that mission. He gave you that invitation in the waters of your baptism, and he renews that baptism and those waters every day. He wants you to be a member of his A team. You are, in fact, one of the starters of that team. First, Jesus has redeemed your life. He has taken away your sin and recreated you to be a living and beautiful citizen of his coming kingdom. He has created you a servant of Christ to be a servant of all. But being on that team doesn't mean that a lot of great things are going to come, certainly not that you will earn a lot of money. It doesn't mean that you will have the attention of all of the media that the world suggests that you need. It doesn't mean that you're going to have the votes of everyone in the country as people would think important in this world. It doesn't mean that you're going to be the top of the latest poll, as the politicians all seek today. Those are all things that the world wants you to do. But Jesus still wants you to be on his team. And as such, it means that you will be last of all and servant of all. But being on that team means that you will have an eternity of joy and happiness beyond all measure. Amen.